Indian authorities are facing accusations they have failed to properly approve and monitor potentially risky projects after a weekend flood disaster that began high in the Himalayas, wiped out a hydro dam like it was so much Lego, and left dozens of workers dead or missing. Frightening videos emerged after part of the Nandi Devi Glacier apparently collapsed or broke off, sending a raging torrent of mud and rock-laced water hurtling down a sharp ravine, eventually inundating a second hydro dam and the construction workers building it. Now more than 2,000 soldiers and mountaineering experts are engaged in a second day of search and rescue efforts. Authorities are still pondering how it happened, but expert observers say that authorities have failed to take account of the impact of global heating while projects are approved as an act of prestige for politicians. Himanshu Thakkar is an environmental activist and water expert, and he's coordinator of the South Asian Network on Dams, Rivers and People.
We don't have any official explanation as to what led to this disaster, which is the location where it happened, at what exact time it happened, what was the magnitude of its at the origin. This is still a matter of, it's not available. But what we can gather from the available information is that there was substantial amount of snowfall in this region last week. And on Sunday morning, when there was a bright day came about, some of the accumulated snow started melting. At certain location, it possibly led to avalanche. You know, all the accumulated snow falling down, and then it fell down into a glacial body. So there was a glacier, possibly a glacier lake, or there are sometimes water pockets within glaciers. So it fell into it, that led to breaking off of the glacier, and this is a paraglacial area. So there is a lot of debris already lying around there. Debris meaning the soil, the stones, the boulders and trees. So all of that started flowing down. And because the area has the river bed has a very high slope there. So it started flowing very fast, and it's also accumulated more debris on the way. And that's how I think the event started.
Mm. And is this something that could have been predicted? Do authorities have monitoring capabilities to check this sort of thing?
Exactly. So, you know, even a day after the event actually played out, we still don't know. We are speculating. So we don't have authentic official information about the questions I asked in the beginning. So we don't, unfortunately, we have the monitoring capacity, but we are not really monitoring. India has substantial satellite power and Doppler radars and a very well-equipped meteorological department. And there is a snow and avalanche authority under the defense ministry. But all of that has not really helped. And that's a major lacuna. These are vulnerable areas, and these are known vulnerabilities, which has actually increased in the changing climate.
Yes, and we'll talk a bit more about the climate. That's a really important factor here. I mean, to what extent do you think we can attribute this disaster to climate change?
So the number of things that are happening, you know, the science of the climate change has not developed so much that we can attribute a specific disaster to climate change. But what we can see in this region, for example, is that in this part of Himalayas, the glaciers are melting faster than most parts of the world. That is known fact. Now, when glaciers melt, they leave around lot of huge quantities of debris. Now, that debris is a potential source for such disaster. Secondly, the changing snowfall pattern and the rainfall pattern. This area has been sort of starved of regular precipitation, but there has been more snowfall. Now, the February is not a month when the glaciers or the snow melts, but that particular day, suddenly it was very sunny and bright and it started melting. So, you know, all of these factors, the glacier melting, the debris collected, the large quantity of snow suddenly melting, All of these are signatures of climate change, as the scientists are telling us.
Now, in the last few years, India's state governments have stepped up construction of hydropower and irrigation projects in the Himalayas. What is the scope of those plans? How big are they? And are they safe to proceed with?
So firstly, you know, what are the potential hazards of such a project? It's known that these are hazardous projects in the sense that this is vulnerable to disaster, this area. Now, when you build these hydropower projects, what you do is that you make major interventions into the river and the related infrastructure, which includes deforestation, which includes building of dams, tunneling and blasting, and creation of huge quantities of muck, additional roads and townships, displacement of people with their traditional wisdom. So all of these increases the disaster potential in that area. And to answer your question, there is a huge plan of, in fact, what we call it's bumper-to-bumper plan of building hydropower projects in this area. So it's like a tunnel of the upstream project will be entering, throwing water into the reservoir of the downstream project, that kind of situation there. And we have not been doing full credible impact assessment or the disaster impact assessment of these projects. So in that sense, we are actually taking up these projects without adequate studies and management plans. And this is definitely very hazardous. In addition, we don't have adequate monitoring and disaster management also in place, which has led to, you know, the most casualties has happened in the hydropower projects. Now, this shows that how poor is the disaster management at these projects also.
Why then do India's governments, the state governments and the central government, feel it's so essential to press ahead if there are these dangers?
See, in the last 5 years, these large hydropower projects are no longer even economically viable. The cost of electricity from these projects today is more than 6 rupees per unit of power, whereas we can get from solar and wind power at less than 3 rupees per unit. So even economic viability is a big question mark. And to answer your question, there is a whole political economy around it. Politicians feel very powerful when they have the power to sanction and take up development projects, huge development projects at huge expenses at one place. These projects are also known to indulge in a lot of corrupt practices, which leads to possibly kickbacks to some politicians. So all of this is a big reason, political economic reason, which is possibly leading to more and more such projects taking up. And in fact, you know, to show that it is not economically viable, all the private sector companies has gone out of the hydropower sector.
You mentioned that the proper environmental and other processes are not being undertaken. Is that being challenged in any way, in the courts, in any other way?
Definitely, it's being challenged, actually. The very first project that got washed away, Rishi Ganga project, it was challenged in judiciary in the National Green Tribunal. And the National Green Tribunal appointed a 2-member of a committee. That committee went and just certified that the project is okay. So this, so the, you know, judicial process is also a big problematic in India. And they feel that this is a technical subject in which they don't want to enter. But these are process-related issues in which we need proper assessment, a credible independent assessment. We need public consultation process in which the local people have a role in the monitoring and so on. In absence of all this, possibly these are big invitation to disaster. And this is not the first time. In 2013, June, when we had biggest disaster, Uttarakhand had the biggest disaster in its history. So many of the hydropower projects were both cause for additional impacts and were also victims of the damage. And the same thing has happened this year again.
So you would, with a degree of confidence, expect that more disasters are coming?
Absolutely. And not only, I mean, this is one part of it. There is also Chardham Highway, a very broad highway which is being under construction, which has been challenged in the Supreme Court of India. And the Supreme Court has asked them to reduce the width of it unnecessarily. But in India, the EIA, Environment Impact Assessment, is required if the highway is, say, 100 kilometers or longer. But they break this into small pieces of, say, 20, 30, 40 kilometers. They say this doesn't require Environment Impact Assessment. So this kind of means are used. And so not only this kind of projects and its violations and lack of monitoring, but also the changing climate. is going to definitely increase the frequency and intensity of such events in days to come.
Himanshu Thakkar, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thanks a lot.
Himanshu Thakkar is coordinator of the South Asian Network on Dams, Rivers and People.